Guardians, Tigers. Guardians can take control in a five-game series. They took control in game one, 7-0, 5 in the first inning against a bullpen game for the Tigers. If you were watching it on TV, you heard this man call the action. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He's the play-by-play man. Does a great job on everything he does. And he's Brian Anderson.
It's the other Brian Anderson. The other one we really like.
Hello, BA.
The other one. We got a lot. We got to get that straight.
Well, the other BA.
There's a few of us.
Yeah. As long as you guys are getting the right checks, that's okay. Although BA's down in Tampa, so he's got to make sure he's got his house cleared out today. But we're praying for all those people with the bad weather down there. But
yeah.
Great job calling the game the other day. I thought your fantastic energy first inning. Outstanding.
With Jeff Francoeur on TBS, and you can watch it again today coming up 4 o'clock. First inning. What a disaster if you're A.J. Hinch and you're thinking, I'm going to go bullpen game and I don't even get an out. Now what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, I think Frenchie said it best, couldn't have started worse, and then it got worse immediately. But, that's the whole piece to the Stephen Vogt Guardians puzzle, is to try to disrupt those organized, the organized chaos that A.J. Hinch is going to unleash. And now Stephen Vogt's kind of in that mode. I mean, I know Matthew Boyd's making the start, and he pitched beautifully for the Guards in his 8 starts. But, he's a bit of a hired hand here, and I'm sure the lease is going to be very short, 3-4 innings, I would imagine. Third time through is always a marker. So I think now the tables will be a little bit turned because Skubal is one of those guys you can kind of let ride a little bit, and it's a bit of a reset. So, yeah, it was a great start for Cleveland. Whatever questions there were about, the timing and rhythm of their offense, I was concerned about it because I do this every year, and it's a major factor. It's a major story with managers every season about what to do for those who get the bye. I mean, Brian Snitker just wrestled with it and did a complete 180 from 2 years ago to what he did last year. Neither one of them worked. Dave Roberts, they got swept last year by Arizona when they had the layoff. So to come out and drop a 5 spot in the first inning, really before there was an out, what a monumental achievement that was for a team that hasn't seen live pitching in a week.
Hmm. Hey, what'd you think of the energy in that? It was jumping through the screen if you were watching at home, and the ballpark was really, really rocking. I'm just curious. I love hearing it from people who aren't from Cleveland, just to kind of get your take on what the ballpark was like and the energy, and really, truly taking advantage of home field advantage.
It was just like I thought it'd be, and just like I remembered when I called playoff games here a decade ago. It's hopping. It's awesome. And it starts early. You can just hear music pouring out of different corners of downtown that are kind of, where we sit up top. It's a great scene as you look over the left field wall, and, you can kind of see the crowd building up outside the ballpark. And it was great. I mean, it's such a, Midwest baseball fans. I live and work in Milwaukee, so I'm partial to it. Get a bad rap. But, in the Midwest, we make you earn our money. If we're going to pay for tickets and if we're going to come out, you got to earn it as a team. That means we're going to have days and years when the ballparks aren't full every day. But, when you're winning and you're playing well and you're worth spending our money for, we're going to show up. And that's what Midwesterners do. And it's a beautiful scene. And, man, I'm glad you said it came across that way. We're always trying to find that balance between making sure the crowd is heard versus us being heard. but we have a great audio team who spends a lot of time laying out these microphones to make sure that is picked up and you can feel that at home. So yeah. Thank you for saying that. And I thought it was a glorious scene, and it'll be the same in Detroit in a couple of days too. All playoff venues are pretty great this time of year.
Brian Anderson joining us. You'll hear him on TBS today, play-by-play, Guardians Game 2 against the Tigers with Jeff Francoeur. The offense struck early the other day and then didn't strike much the rest of the game. Is offense still a concern for the Guardians in this series, in your mind?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's fair. It's totally fair, and it needs to be. I mean, their overall OPS was not great in the second half. It's just kind of a, middle-of-the-pack offense that is made a lot better, and I mean this in a way of confidence for a hitter, knowing your bullpen is so great that you're always in games and you're not going to have to go score four or five runs, you know, in the back half of a game to be in a game. Guardians led the American League in comeback wins for a reason. That is a direct correlation to their bullpen and a little bit of freedom that bullpen gives their offense. So the one interesting note, and Tarek Skubal is a little different because he's, you know, he's the elite guy. He's the alpha dog in the American League and is going to win the Cy Young. But the Guardians have the best OPS against left-handed starters. And that will bode well, and I think that applies to left-handed pitching in general. And they're going to see some matchup lefties come in as well. So they're better against lefties. And so I don't know if that's going to apply against Tarek Skubal, but, you know, they had 10 hits against Tarek Skubal in his only start against him. They didn't score many runs, but they did put some hits together. And if they can flip this game, then, you know, a sweep is a real possibility, even going back to Detroit. Now you start, it's so much pressure on the Tigers if you can flip this game. The Tigers, I'm not saying they punted game one, but when it got to be 5-0, you're starting to see A.J. Hinch roll out pitchers to make sure they have postseason experience for later in the series. Again, he's hoping they get outs, and the Guardians did add on. But, yeah, I think both offenses are challenged. Pitching is going to reign supreme. Ultimately, the bullpens are going to decide the series. Cleveland has the best bullpen in the game. So I like Cleveland's chances here.
Last thing, you err on the side, if you're Stephen Vogt, of taking your starter out, no matter who the starter is, too soon rather than too late based on your bullpen?
Yeah, always. I mean, with this bullpen, for sure. And, you know, there is a discussion, like I have a lot of conversations through the years when we work together, but even now with John Smoltz, Jeff Francoeur, Ron Darling, all these guys that I know and I've worked with, and you heard a little bit from Derek Jeter last night. Pedro Martinez talks about it on our broadcast. There is a little bit of a notion that overexposure to a bullpen can be a concern. And I brought this up in the broadcast in game one, because in Stephen Vogt's case, I don't think he's so much worried about overexposure of the pen. You know, we talk about starters not allowing hitters to see them a third time. The same can kind of apply to relievers, but that would show itself, manifest itself over a series. I thought last year we covered the National League and we did Diamondbacks Phillies, and I thought the Phillies ran their bullpen out too much. And by the end of that series, really the middle to the end, the Diamondbacks, they had a great look at all of their best relievers, and the Phillies had a great bullpen last year, and they ended up flipping that series. You know, they won three of the last four games in that series to advance to the World Series. So I thought that was a real story last year. I don't think that's the case with the Guardians. And judging by Stephen Vogt's comments, it's almost like I said on the air, I think he wants to show his hand almost in a way to demoralize the opponent. Because, I mean, if you're facing Cade Smith and Class A and Gattis, I mean, you're looking at this situation going, I'm not sure how we do this, especially when you are playing twilight games like we're going to have tonight. I'm sure everybody, all the hitters are hoping for this cloud cover to remain in Cleveland. But yeah, if it's sunny and the shadows are a factor, good luck. I mean, it's a pitching game. And that does answer your question about the Guardians offense from Saturday. I thought the conditions were really tough to hit. Bright, sunny day, really harsh shadows. I thought for both teams, that's why Cleveland jumping on a 5-run first, you know, it kind of felt like it was game over at that point.
Brian, we know you're busy today. Thank you for your time. We'll get you back on, we hope, down the road when we can just bust chops like crazy.
Yeah, we need a national TV game with both Brian Andersons. That would make us happier.
Well, I'm ready. But Eddie was just texting me. I said, you can call the middle three innings if you want. So whatever. We welcome all comers. I told Tom Hamilton he can come over if he wants. Everybody's welcome on TV.
Let's get him in the Hall of Fame. He's up for the Hall of Fame.
There
again,
you go.
Too, for Cooperstown.
I don't care if he's in or not. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yes, he is.
He's a Hall of Famer. No matter, he's a Hall of Fame person and just one of my favorite people in the world. And, of course, he's a cheeser
true.
So we love the guy.
Brian, thanks, buddy. We appreciate
Brian.
Your time today.
Great to be with you again.
Thank you.
You can hear him on TBS today with Jeff Francoeur. Game 2, 4:08, whatever it is, starting right around 4:00 as the Guardians with a chance to take control of this series.